This is Too Political, the podcast in which two old friends talk about politics, the news, and whatever else we think of. My name's Arthur.
And this is Jason.
And together we're
Too Political.
Hi again, and welcome to Too Political, episode 10.
Ten is an awful lot.
It is. It is. It's amazing that we've made it this far. Although, as I pointed out,
at our advanced ages too, because people our age are dropping dead like flies all over at least in the United States.
Well, yes, isn't that the case? I'll tell you. Every time I see one of these people that says aged 50, I'm like, oh my god,
you're next.
I know.
Well, happy felicitations from the United States of America in Washington D.C.
And same from New Zealand.
So we're going to do our special days.
Yes.
And they're two sort of special days. And one of the special days is already there because you're in the future and I'm in the past, depending on where you are. Anyway, July 1st is Canada Day. And then the other special day somewhere, which I'm not exactly sure where, is July 4th, and they have fireworks and parades
and
somewhere.
And stuff.
Yeah, you know. And it's in a celebration of, you know,
something.
The declaration of something or other, yes. So, but you recently had sort of a special day as well, or a special event, I should say.
Yes. I just did the Pride 48 marathon extravaganza, whatever you want to call it, this past weekend. And it was a heck of a lot of fun. I actually don't know how many podcasters took part, but they were recording shows started Friday evening and concluded Sunday evening. And Nigel and I did an episode on Friday night, Saturday morning, actually, and also about 24 hours later. And I've posted those at amarinspodcast.com. But it was a lot of fun. I heard some podcasts that I haven't heard before, and I interacted with a lot of people in the chat room, which was a lot of fun. There was no real nastiness. There were some technical hiccups, as you'd expect, but no real nastiness of any sort. And apart from a couple of people who tried to rain on the parade, and that was immediately followed by a denial of service attack on the chat room, which interrupted that for a little while. But it was all sorted in the end, and everybody seems to have had a good time. And there are Google ads on the site and also a PayPal button, and enough people clicked on the ads and donated money to ensure that the server will keep running for the year.
And oh, great.
So the various participants will now be able to do live shows during that time. And actually, we might want to think about doing Too Political live at some stage. Nigel and I are thinking about doing some Amarin's podcasts live together as well. The trouble is kind of sticking is coming up with the time. Well, actually for us too, but with Amarin's, he wants to do it when people are actually awake in the U.S. because the first one was at 3 a.m. and the second was at 4 a.m. and which was prime time here in New Zealand, but obviously not there. And since most of the listeners to both these podcasts are in the U.S. or North America generally, we'd like to sort of do it when people can actually listen. So, but that's something to sort of wait on, to wait for or listen for. But it was a heck of a lot of fun, and we're going to be doing it again apparently later this year, perhaps January, as late as January. But as I said, I will be doing more live podcasts in the future as well. And actually, we have some breaking news that I want to say right now before I forget. We have a new comment line. Hooray!
Yay! Not that we didn't call the old one and we lost the number, but, you know, because that didn't happen.
No. It was a technical glitch. Yeah, that's it.
Right. It was a technical glitch. That's why when I called it, it sounded like a fax machine.
Yes. Yes. No, the new number is 206. I know. That's very odd, but 206.
206.
350-3982. And, of course,
350-3982.
That's the number. And of course,
so it's 206-350-3982.
Indeed.
Operators are standing by. No, that's wrong.
And sorry, I just breathed into the mic. I'm trying out a new mic today, so you'll have to excuse me if I do some breathing on the mic by accident.
So if you hear heavy breathing, you know who it's coming from.
Well, I should have probably put my pop filter on it, but I didn't because I wasn't sure. Sorry, that's enough, Darth. But we'll repeat the number again at the end of the episode and put it in the show notes and all the usual stuff. I suppose I should put it on the site at some stage. I don't think I ever put the other one on. Maybe that's why we didn't get any calls.
That could be. You never know. Or maybe we just... Well, anyway, we won't go there.
So, is America going crazy or what? You've got governors flying off to other parts of the world to get some coochie? I mean, what's going on here?
I'm sorry, these are Republicans. These are these repressed people who can't seem to keep their zippers zipped. I guess he's in even more doo-doo now because he's the most problematic admission by Sanford in the interview. This is an AP interview, which he gave, I guess, this afternoon, is that he has strayed with other women but had not had sex with them.
Until now.
Well, I guess so. I think the thing that is, again, they sort of had this... oh, this is nobody's business, blah, 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 blah. This is between the politician and his wife. And it's not when you are a family's value party. And it's also not when essentially you disappear for 5 days. You know, this sort of like, well, you know, he's allowed to take a vacation. It's like, no, I'm sorry. You're the chief executive of a state.
Yeah.
You don't get to be unreachable for 5 days.
Yeah. To one extent, I agree with the people who say, well, you know, him having an affair is nobody's business. Same with John Ensign. But the point here is the blatant hypocrisy of them talking about, you know, the value of traditional marriage. And they're out stripping some woman on the side, breaking their marriage vows. And yet they have the gall to tell other people they're not allowed to marry because they're not good enough. I mean, hello.
Well, even if there wasn't the hypocrisy quotient, there is this, you disappeared for 5 days.
Yeah.
You used funds to go visit your mistress. Even if you repay them, it's still a crime. With the case of Ensign, he kept this woman on his payroll. And suddenly she got a lot more money. They employed this woman's son, so one could... I don't know if one was cynical, might think that this was some sort of a payoff to keep silent. So there are questions that they, you know, need to ask here. And in all probability, Sanford is much more likely to be forced to resign than Ensign because, of course, of developments. One, because Sanford's a governor and Ensign is a senator, and the Republicans can't afford to lose any more senators, because the other major breaking news from this afternoon is the state of Minnesota now has 2 senators.
Woohoo! Welcome to the union, Minnesota.
Yes, so now Norm Coleman has finally concedes long-running Senate race after Minnesota Supreme Court rules Democrat is certified winner. So almost 8 months
after and by that point, you really had no choice. I read months ago that there was actually a strategy here. The Republicans were trying to hopefully prevent indefinitely the Democrats getting a supermajority in the Senate. But now Norm Coleman is in a sticky situation because he wants to run for governor, and he can't very well do that if he's dragging Minnesota in this expensive, drawn-out legal battle for no good reason, which it was inevitable he would lose. And he stood to gain absolutely nothing by continuing any legal battles past this point.
Yeah, I agree on that. And, you know, he does have this legal right, and it's I guess, the thing, the legal system is so slow on this, you think it could have been expedited.
Yeah.
I think that's what's more, you know, he has this right to, take it to its logical conclusion. I don't think there's any question about that, you know, Coleman. And it's just that, why did it take so long? Yeah, I guess to file stuff, but my thing is that, of course, there could have been an extra step. I guess he could have appealed to the Supreme Court, and since they've are now in recess, aren't they? I think they issued their last opinion today. It would have been. In all probability, they wouldn't have the Supreme Court wouldn't have taken the case. So I mean, you know, I think you allow the legal proceedings to run its course, but thankfully at least he is now admitting that he's not the senator. But it is an awful long time not to have a state. Not have two senators. It's sort of like your governor disappearing for 5 days. Where have I heard that before? Yeah. So I think that's really important. They always talk about, oh, it's a supermajority now. The Democrats have a supermajority. That is, of course, if all the Democrats vote the same way on all the issues. So I think this bugaboo that the Republicans talked about is really kind of...
I think they're being a little bit dishonest with that. I think that they've been deliberately talking about that to raise money from their base, because they know damn well that the Democrats are seldom, if ever, going to get 60 Democratic votes on one issue, because there are too many blue dog Democrats who are basically Republican light, and won't vote with Democrats on every issue.
Well, and I think it even goes beyond that. I just think you have 60 people in lockstep. That's very hard to get, no matter what political persuasion you are. So I think that's hard to do. And after all, they are senators. They're senators. Getting 60 of them to agree on something is problematic in and of itself.
And part of that's the structure of the American system where. Mm-hmm. They're all basically independent contractors, whereas in a parliamentary system, in most circumstances, they're required to vote however the party tells them to vote. And so if you have 60 members of your parliament and your party, they will all vote the same way, unless, in some circumstances, sometimes it's called a free vote or a conscience vote or something like that. But generally speaking, in a parliamentary system, you know how the votes are going to fall based on the number of people in a given party in the parliament. But the American system isn't like that at all. And so that's why this whole supermajority thing is a little bit of nonsense, because it's only a supermajority on paper. In the real world, I don't think we're going to see that actually play out very often.
I think if the numbers were higher, if this was Senator 65,
then
I think you could come along and say, okay, we need to be... the balance is really well way off, because then you really could have a situation where you might be able to get 60 people to agree on some issues from some combination of stuff.
But the Republicans have brought this situation on themselves, not just because they had a horrible president for 8 years, but also because their party has gone batshit crazy. I mean, if you look at the people who are speaking for them, and you look at some of the people who are out there it's not all in Washington. A lot of these people are out and about in the country doing really batshit crazy things. You've got an example close to you.
Comparing Obama to Hitler.
That would be one of them. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, we have a woman, Joyce Tommen of the Republican Women of Anne Arundel County, has equated Obama to Hitler.
What state is that, by the way?
It's Maryland, which is very odd in and of itself, because it's a Democratic state. Like, she would write a letter that they would post on their site, and essentially it said, and I'll read it to you. "Dear friends, Obama and Hitler have a great deal in common in my view. Obama and Hitler used the Blitzkrieg method to overwhelm their enemies. Fast carpet bombing, which is all in caps, intent on destruction. Hitler's Blitzkrieg bombing destroyed many European cities quickly and effectively. Obama is systematically destroying the American economy and with it America." That's all in quotes. "First, the banking investment industry, next private enterprise, GM and Chrysler, and now healthcare. We too can fight back. Contact everyone you know. Start a blitzkrieg of our own. Shut down the Capitol switchboards and the White House switchboards. Say no to the abomination of Obamacare." Now, on the Anne Arundel County Women's site, "Urgent message from RWAAC Board of Directors." The article put on our website by Joyce Tommen was done solely by her. Our board of directors never saw the article and would never have approved it. We are not in support of Mrs. Tommen's personal thoughts or opinions. How frickin' lame can you get?
Yeah, they didn't exactly disassociate themselves, did they? Not really.
Oops.
Yeah.
Now, I did a little bit more research, and then we have a defense from her husband on this. And her husband says that maybe she wasn't as artful as she could have been, referring to his wife's comments, but said he and his wife view Obama's push of what they deemed socialist programs similar to the way Adolf Hitler spread the Nazi ideals in Germany. The methods that Pelosi and Obama are using to get the socialist point of view across is similar to what Hitler did, and the German people regretted it. I just happened to be up on it. I happen to be a history teacher. Okay.
A bad one, apparently.
Yes, and then the notion that, oh, in something else, oh, it was taken out of context, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. To use Hitler's name evokes only one thing. Not like, it's like, well, we're not talking about when he was bad Hitler, bad megalomaniac, mass murderer. We're talking about when he was just sort of bad Hitler. It's like, no. And the notion somehow that it's being misinterpreted, or because you're a history teacher, well, then if you're a history teacher, you should know exactly what invoking that name is.
Yeah.
And the Corey Blake, the chair of the Anne Arundel County Democratic Party, said that they would compare the President of the United States to the worst mass murderer in the history of the world is uncalled for and it's unnecessary. It enforces for me the belief that the Republican Party has been overtaken by an ideology of hate, and they will do anything to try to discredit this president. Unfortunately, they crossed the line on this comparison. People all around the country are looking at Anne Arundel County and scratching their heads. It's appalling. And you couldn't have chosen somebody else who did something similarly. I can understand them coming along and saying, well, it's socialism, blah, 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 blah. It's their tact now. It's their tract. You know, it's their mantra. I think the problem is that most people don't. You have a chunk of people who grew up when communism faded away, and it doesn't have the sting, you know, that it, you know, once had. You know, it's like when George Bush the first did against Dukakis. He's a card-carrying member of the ACLU, which, of course, was the throwback to the card-carrying member of the Communist Party type line.
Yeah.
But you have to know. You would have to have known. Either that or you're dumb as a post, that this would be the reaction. And it just does really reinforce. I mean, it totally blows away any hope of people legitimately saying, I think this is going to be socialized medicine. I think this is going to be a single payer thing. And, you know, it's going to end up like Canada. I don't think that's going to be the situation. But certainly people have a right to be able to bring that up. And what this does, it just makes them look like stupid idiots.
Yeah, you can't use stupid analogies and expect to be taken seriously, basically. And I think you're right that with respect to anything that the President Obama or the Democrats are doing, that there's always room for legitimate debate on most of those issues. But you cheapen yourself as much as your debate if you resort to stupid things like that. But, you know, what often comes up, especially on right-wing media like Fox News, is they'll say, well, the left did this to Bush. But, of course, the difference is that Bush deserved it.
Well, I'm going to disagree with that. I don't think
really?
I don't think the left did it to this sort of the far left did, which is, you know, again, the fringe and
yeah,
you ignore them. But you don't have people, you know, using Hitler. It just didn't happen.
Back during the Bush regime, I would sometimes refer to some of the things they were doing as being fascist with a small f.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because they were, in very technical terms, because I, in my blog, only use the word fascist in very technical, with a very technical meaning. I don't just throw it around as a random insult, for instance. Now, as you said, a lot of the people on the left, the far left, would do that all the time, just as the people on the far right throw in all sorts of bizarre things about Obama and the Democrats now. The difference between those two times is the far left was not then and is not now the center of the Democratic Party, but the far right is the center of the Republican Party, and that's really what is different between now and when Bush Cheney were in power.
That's very true. And also, the far right, the people who are spouting this stuff or spewing this stuff, depending on which word you want to use, have a far greater access to an audience.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Now, I'm sorry, there's just so many more of them.
Yeah. Well, just look at some of these really weirdo Republicans. You've got Tom Tancredo, who compared La Raza to the KKK. You've got Michelle Bachmann, who said she's going to refuse to participate in the census because it's part of a plot to put people in internment camps. She compared it to rounding up the Japanese in California and among many other things. And you've got these people who are just batshit crazy. I mean, in the case of Michelle Bachmann, you wonder why she's not been put away for her own safety. And you've got so many people like this now in the Republican Party. And they can't quite seem to understand why people aren't responding to their message. Well, if you go around talking crazy, all you're going to attract are the crazy people. You're not going to attract the normal people who
that's very true.
In the majority.
They supposedly have traction in the polls on people's concern about the deficit. But every single time they make headway on this, they get, this report. You know, this woman from Anne Arundel County, they have the two affairs back to back. So, yeah, I think it's very, very hard for them to gain traction on these things, which I don't really have much of a problem with because, after all, I don't want them to gain traction on. But at some point in time, there does need to be, some sort of legitimate pushback or...
Well, look, democracy thrives on having a healthy and robust opposition, regardless of who's in power.
Right.
You need to have somebody pushing back, putting on the brakes, saying, hang on a minute, because otherwise, in enthusiasm and with the best of intentions, a majority can push through things that are not a good idea. You need somebody there to basically put their hand up and say, hang on a minute. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that at the moment. We have an angry opposition. We have a bitter opposition, but we don't have a good opposition. And that's the main problem with the Republican Party. Now, I personally am not sure that the Republican Party can survive this because they are so overrun with nutcases right now, and the majority of Americans don't want a bar of those people, that for there to be a legitimate opposition, there's going to have to be an entirely new party because there's no way that the nutcases are going to abandon the Republican Party. So what other alternative is there? We've got the Democrats who are two or more parties in one. And you've got the loonies off in the Republican Party, but there's nothing else. So I'm not sure that there's any alternative other than for some prominent people with real good name recognition, who are Republican, to abandon the party and announce the formation of a new party and start over again without all the Christo-fascist nutcases. I personally just don't see how they can survive otherwise. I don't see how they can rally by 2010 unless something really dramatic happens between now and then, which is always possible, of course.
Well, if the economy doesn't get better, but even then, you expect some sort of a pushback. And, when you have two of their rising stars who can't keep their zippers zipped, and the people who you have left are Newt Gingrich, and if the savior of the party is going to be Sarah Palin, well...
Then the party deserves to die, in my
opinion. Power to you.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It's a really crazy situation. Now, of course, one of the things that the Republicans are really pinning their hopes on, and have been for quite a while, badly, has been the nomination of Sotomayor to the Supreme Court. And, they've called her racist, and they've called her sexist, and all kinds of things, because that's all they know how to do, is to hate on people. They don't know how to, present... cogent, rational arguments of opposition. All they can do is hate. So far,
well, but even that has extremely and important distinctions. All of this, the noise about her, all of the opposition to her is coming from people who are not in elected office.
Yeah.
While most of the elected officials, knowing and seeing demographic trends, have decided since our spewing on immigration really endeared us to the Hispanic community, perhaps we won't try and use the racist term. Even Gingrich finally backed off on that one, but it took a while. So
yeah, well, that's because he was probably strong-armed by the party elders, saying, "Look, if you keep doing this, you're going to absolutely sabotage our chances with Hispanic voters, which is this fast-growing group."
Discounting Rush Limbaugh, could you not oppose her without using that type of rhetoric? Once again, that's all you hear. And that might be red meat to the base, but I'm sorry, your base is shrinking. The main reason is because they're dropping dead.
Yes. But here's the thing.
It's not growing, and it's like, okay, we think, it's like, here's this case with the firefighters, and is there some traction on that somehow to be able to come along
They're
and say,
so.
Well, but why not base it on that? Why not say, hey, look how she voted, when this is clearly, again, you're sort of playing to your base, but again, you're also playing to the whole notion of fairness. Is this, she went along with this, this what really is a quota system, what it should be is it shouldn't be, you have these tests and these people should be promoted on the basis of how they did on the tests, and this isn't fair. These people played by the rules. You have a legitimate, I think, argument along those lines, in the fact that New Haven came along and said, well, it didn't turn out the way we wanted to, so we're scrapping the test.
Well,
the
majority opinion said that a municipality can't do something because they're afraid they might be sued. They basically have to uphold the law and all those kinds of things. And people can have legitimate disagreements about the validity of the case in the first place. But I think what concerns me about this is that the Republicans are trying to make this into an issue that it's not. What they're trying to say is that she is for let's just put the cards on the table. What they are saying is that she wants to allow black people to be better than black, to get advantages that white people can't have. That's what they're saying. They're not using those exact phrases, but that's what they mean. And that, of course, is bullshit. If you look at the context of the ruling, it was a perfectly ordinary ruling. There was nothing groundbreaking about it. It wasn't taking a stand for affirmative action. It was upholding a decision. It was doing what is normally done in such situations. Now, the right wing would say, and they do say, that she should have voted to not uphold because that would have been the right thing to do. But that's their ideology. That's a matter for the legislatures to decide. That's not a matter for the judges to decide. The judge's role is to decide
that would
on
be,
cases.
Ooh, I know. And if she'd done that, you know what she would have been?
Exactly.
An activist judge.
And an activist judge is only a judge that rules against the Republicans. They're not being activist when they vote the way the Republicans want them to. That's the hypocrisy of the Republicans.
Right. But, it's like the Terry Schiavo case.
Yeah. But, there's one aspect of this case that nobody's talking about that really, quite frankly, annoys the hell out of me. The right wing and even some moderates are going on about a liberal justice on the bench. And, of course, Republicans are saying that she'd be the most liberal justice ever. Excuse me? What the hell is wrong with having a liberal justice? We've got five conservative judges on the bench, solid conservative judges. And then the rest kind of, and some are a bit more liberal than others. Why not have a liberal on the bench? Liberal. Which Sotomayor is not, by the way. She's not a liberal.
Perhaps even more to the point is you can say, oh, from reading these things and talking to her, she'll rule this way.
Yeah.
I have to assume that the first George Bush is not really pleased that he picked Souter to go on the court because he did not turn out to be the type of judge that they thought he would be.
Yeah.
So this is silly and stupid, and we have talked about this before. You need to have that balance.
Yeah. And the court has been tilted to the right for a long time now. And it hasn't helped that we've gotten Clarence Thomas on the bench, or Scalia, or Roberts, or Alito. All of those people are hardline conservatives. They're not going to ever vote for anything moderate. They're always going to take the farthest right position possible. And Kennedy, more often than not, votes with the right.
Well,
so you've got five conservative votes.
I think on some matter-of-fact things that they're I don't think that's necessarily true. They had the case with all of them, except for Thomas. They had the case where the school district was looking for over-the-counter medication, and they essentially did a strip search on this girl, and the justices ruled 8-1 that they were wrong in doing this, and guess who the one dissenting vote was?
Oh, yeah.
It was Thomas.
Yeah. Well, he's an idiot.
Well, so, I mean, everybody else. So there are occasional times when they're looking at it. It's just like, I was reading this and I'm thinking, like, how else can you possibly rule that this would be okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So there are those instances.
But they are very rare.
Well, they are very rare, but there are those instances. So that at some point in time, you know, even the most conservative justices, except Clarence Thomas, can go over to the other side. But again, you want that balance.
Yeah.
I don't think you want it's not to say you want, okay, far conservative, far, you know, far liberal, but you want some sort of a balance. And if she is, you know, it would be one thing to say, well, she's an ultra liberal justice and she was replacing, say, Scalia. Then I think you could say, okay, what about some? Again, this is I'm using their descriptions.
I wouldn't say
of
that,
her.
But people might. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Then you could go, okay, how about balance there? Then you have a slightly better argument. And the emphasis on that is only slightly. But
yeah,
if the whole notion, oh, she's a liberal justice, then she's replacing a liberal justice.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no net change. But if McCain had won in this situation, he would be putting a hard right judge on the bench, which would have drastically shifted the balance in the court.
Yes.
And solidly to the right. And yet the Republicans would have been fine with that, but they're not fine with just basically maintaining the balance as it is. Or,
well, I don't think McCain would have had the ability to do that.
To do what? Put a hard right on?
Uh-huh, especially now that you have 60 Democratic
senators.
Well,
see, that's another if. It would have depended on how the congressional election ended up, too. Because if McCain had been able to win the presidency, it would have been a different dynamic in the congressional races as well. So, I mean,
well, Souter might not have also decided to resign. The reason he's deciding to go is because Obama was elected president.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's ultimately the thing. I mean, some of the other justices who have been talked about leaving, like John Paul Stevens and Ginsburg and so on, are ones that when Obama, assuming that they do leave and Obama appoints their successor, it's not going to really change anything. And that's a bit of a pity. But the four solid, hard right judges aren't going anywhere anytime soon. So, I mean, there is no real alternative to change the court. It's just that what, at the very least, what Obama will have the opportunity to do is to keep the court as it is until those conservative judges do die or resign or whatever ends up happening. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, sometimes all you can do is just sort of maintain things as they are. You can't really make any progress, which I suppose in some ways kind of is analogous to what's going on with Obama right now and the flack he's getting from the left on a lot of the things that he hasn't done anything about, like Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the defense of marriage brief that his Department of Justice filed, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens soon, because now the Democrats may be feeling with it with the Republicans in full self-destructive mode, that they can kind of overlook some of their constituencies and just sort of do things that are popular or things that they think will help get them elected instead of the things that they've promised to do. And it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of these things play out over the next couple of years as we, you know, start to move, well, less than 2 years now, as we move into the next election cycle.
Well, yeah, and we have, you know, sort of looking for national trends to the elections that are going on state level in New Jersey and in Virginia, which I don't really think is going to happen. So, I mean, that always says that to me is always like, oh, and this means it's just like, well, you know, not really. It just means that it's they're much more when it's off year elections, they're much more driven by local issues than by national stuff.
Yeah, the national stuff is really only more relevant in the presidential election years. Because those are the years when most people pay attention anyway. A lot of people don't even bother to vote in the midterm elections, which I've never really understood because, I mean, since so few people vote, an organized minority could really have quite an influence in those elections, as we've seen plenty of times before.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, I think we've reached a point of closure in our discussions.
Yeah, we'll just pop over to the website and go over comments. And we have a comment from Roger Green, who said that I was interested to read about Joan Walsh appearing on Bill O'Reilly regarding the Tiller murder. I'd never appear on O'Reilly, would you guys? And I should say that he has a quote to her Salon article where she talks about that. And she was basically used as a punching bag by Bill O'Reilly, who lied about what he'd said in the past. I mean, he always lies, but in this particular case, he was lying about never having called Tiller a baby killer apart from in context. Apart from quoting other people when, of course, he actually did say that many times, and there's video evidence on the Salon side of that. I would never go on Bill O'Reilly, personally. I mean, no, because not like I'm likely to get an invitation.
Well, right, but he doesn't let people talk. That's why I stopped. He talks over people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really kind of ridiculous that...
Yeah. Well, a lot of them do that. Sean Hannity, as much as I despise him, does usually at least allow people to talk. And sometimes he even allows them to say things that he completely disagrees with. So although I despise his presentation and what have you, at least you've got to give him credit for that. And I actually have to, this is breaking news too, I have to give credit to Glenn Beck because recently Michelle Bachmann was on there and she was so batshit crazy that he had to shut her up.
who is she? I know her name.
She is a congresswoman from...
From Colorado?
No, Minnesota.
Right.
I've forgotten the district she's in, but she used to be mayor of a town. And apparently her husband was one of those... how do I want to put this? Closet cases. Who goes to pride parades and things and takes photos of people to prove how debauched gay and lesbian people are. Sort of like Porno Pete Larbera, or however you pronounce that. The guy from one of those right-wing nutcase groups, one of those hate groups. I can't remember even which one he's with. So he's been known to do that. And she's just... I don't think, and somebody is welcome to point out if I'm in error on this, but I don't think there's a crazier member of the Congress than Michelle Bachmann. I mean, even Virginia Fox isn't nearly as crazy as Michelle Bachmann, I don't think. But somebody who disagrees with me or who has a better candidate for the craziest member of Congress can certainly leave a comment at 2political.com. That's the number 2political.com. Or it can ring our brand new listener line.
Our brand new listener line, which 206? Is 206-350-3982. And I will be rushing after we are through with this to put up an appropriate welcoming greeting of some sort or another.
Yeah, I would like to come up with some sort of more long-term solution. I've thought about getting some sort of Skype in option, but of course you have to pay for that, which is why I haven't done it. So I don't know.
Well, I think that winds it up for this week.
It does indeed.
This time. So, happy Canada, everybody, and everybody who's celebrating the 4th, wherever it's being celebrated.
Happy Canada Day.
That would be here, wouldn't it?
It's Happy Canada Day.
I said that.
Did you?
Canada Day.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Happy Canada. I thought, well, they probably are, but we don't know that.
Well, I thought I said Happy Canada Day. You're the person who's older and has fewer brain cells, so remember
and
that.
And I pickled a few this weekend, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it. So, yes, I'm going to be going down and doing the annual rite of joining 250,000 of my closest personal friends on the National Mall to watch the fireworks go off. It is, if you ever get a chance to do it, you must come. We've actually done that, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
In unbelievably god-awful heat, as I remember.
Well, it often is in July, isn't it?
Well, it actually hasn't been too bad this year, but usually it does happen. But anyway, and we'll probably be going down to the Folklife Festival. Well, anyway, I think we're wrapping up.
Yep.
We probably should be wrapping up. And I'm going to tell people where they can read all of my insightful comments and views of the world and events around Washington. And I can be found at jasonsviewfromdc.blogspot.com. And where can we find you?
Well, just go to amerinz.com, amerinz.com, which is one site where you can get to my blog, this podcast, my own podcast, my videos, everything. I just decided it'd be easier to have a one-stop shop.
And for those of you unfamiliar with what letter of the alphabet Z is, since it really doesn't exist, that would be Z.
Z in North America, Z everywhere else.
Right.
Well, that's it from New Zealand.
And that's it from Washington, D.C. Wishing everybody a happy Canada Day and a happy 4th of July. Bye for now.
Bye.